1 Kings 22. Y'all remember a guy in the Old Testament named Ahab? King Ahab. Who was his wife? Jezebel. Okay, that's the guy. And one day, King Ahab came across this vineyard. I mean, he could see it from his house, actually. He'd look across the way there, and on the hillside was a vineyard, beautiful place. And a fellow named Naboth owned that vineyard. You recall he wanted to buy it. Naboth said, no, this is my family. This is my heritage. This is my legacy. I'll never sell it. And he said, I'll give you a different vineyard. That could be your legacy. He says, no deal. This is ours. We worked hard. This is ours. We're not selling. We're not interested. And Ahab went home, you remember, like a little child. And he threw himself, oh, I'm having a terrible day. And Jezebel, his wonderful bride, said, what's wrong, baby? And he said, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. And she said, what kind of king are you? You're the king. Take his vineyard. She said, tell you what, never mind, I'll take care of it and you can have it. And she ordered him murdered. He was executed. Naboth was killed. And so the prophet comes and he says, I tell you what, the dogs are out there licking up Naboth's blood, and where they licked up Naboth's blood, they'll be licking up your blood, Ahab, because what you did was wicked. We come to 1 Kings 22. The Bible says there have been 3 years of peace between Israel and Syria. That's in verse number 1. In verse number 2 and 3, we see that Ahab wants to reclaim Ramoth-Gilead from Syria. So here's land that God has promised to his people, but it's now controlled by the Syrians. And Ahab says, I want that land. We kind of see a pattern, don't we? He just wants to accumulate. And so he wants Ramoth-Gilead. Look what he says in verse 3. He says to his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours. And we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Right, well, who are we? Are we men or not? Well, you're the one that was crying and sucking your thumb and Jezebel gave you a vineyard. He said, why are we not doing something about this? We need that land. And anyway, power hungry and land hungry. And so he consults with Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Verse 4, he said to Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And so he says, I'll go. Not only will I go, but man, why would you even ask me? Just tell me what we're going to do and we'll go. But Jehoshaphat, in verse number 5, brings up a tremendous point. One, that we should always bring up on any great decision that we're making. In fact, even on the small decisions. And he says in verse 5, I pray thee, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Let's see what God says. Boy, we need to know that, don't we? Who are we going to vote for? Let's see what God says. And I really don't see how we could call ourselves Christians and vote any other way without prayer and saying, God, we want to do what you'd have us to do. There's some obvious factors. Now, I know that once we get down the ballot, there's some that we don't really know about. So we pray about it, do our research, look into it, and ask God that our votes will be honorable and holy. And so he says, inquire at the word of the Lord. Let's talk to God. Is there somebody we can call? So Ahab has some prophets. Now, y'all know who Ahab and Jezebel are. What kind of preachers do you think they got? I mean, who is it they're going to? So in verse number 6, the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men. And he said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He didn't say which king, but he said he would deliver it. And so he's gathered 400 men. All 400 men are in agreement. And the Bible tells us that there's much wisdom in much counsel. We need to ask around. Guys, when we hide things and do things in secret and make hasty decisions, rash decisions, and we think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this, and I don't want to ask anybody, especially when we don't ask them because we know they're going to tell us it's a bad idea. Isn't that what we do? And then we get mad at them because they tell us a bad idea. But anyway, he says, Now, these 400 prophets, they say, let's do it. Let's do it. God's going to be with you. He's going to give it to you. No problem. Okay, Jehoshaphat, are you happy? Verse 7, Jehoshaphat says, is there anybody else we could talk to? Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? So what does that tell you about Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat, number one, he wants to please God. Number two, he's got a sense that this is not a good idea. I don't know if it was a strategic decision. I don't know if it was just one of those gut feelings. Anybody ever get a gut feeling? Yeah. Something that doesn't feel right about this. But Jehoshaphat, all 400 of these prophets say it's a good idea. Says we're going to win. He said, can we just ask one more? Right? No, man, one more. He said, well, there is a prophet. Verse 8, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Look at this. Y'all see those next four words? But I hate him. Whoo! Well, that's bad, isn't it? Why don't you like the preacher? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat says, oh, let not the king say so. That can't be true. He says, every time he preaches, it's against me. Y'all ever go to church and feel like the preacher's preaching against you? Anybody? I must be doing something wrong, huh? No, but over the years, we've all been to church, and I've had people meet me at the door, not just here, but in previous churches, and they say, who've you been talking to? You've been talking to my wife. I had a guy tell me, my wife's talked to you. She hadn't talked to me, I promise. He said, you preached to me today. I said, God talked to me, but your wife didn't. And he didn't tell me what you did. He just gave me something to preach. And isn't it incredible how when we go seeking God, that God speaks through the word and through the preaching. He does. We can have a room full of people, and each one at some point in the sermon says, now that's for me. That's for me. And so Ahab says, I don't like that preacher. In fact, I hate that guy. He's always preaching bad stuff about me, evil stuff about me. So verse 9, the king of Israel called an officer and he said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, they sat, each of them in their robes, you know, in the gate of the city. And they sat there, and those preachers, those 400 prophets, just stood out there and kept telling them, what a great idea this is. This is a great idea. Man, this is a great idea. God's going to be so good to us. He's going to give us the victory. It's going to be wonderful. Man, he's never had a better day, never had a better victory than what we're going to have today. I mean, they just kept going on. 400 of them kept going on and on and on. The messenger gets to Micaiah. Verse number 13. And he says, behold now, verse 13, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one mouth. They all agree. Now, let me just pause here and say, if I've got 400 counselors who all agree that I have a good idea, I'm going to think I have a good idea. I mean, why would you doubt yourself? You got one king over here that keeps doubting it. Jehoshaphat says, I'm still not sure that's the right thing. But 400 people say it's a good idea, so who's this guy? I'm going to go with the 400. So the messenger goes to Micaiah. He said, look, now I want you to know up front, all the other prophets tell him it's a good idea. I mean, they're all in unity and harmony, in sync. And they all say it's a good idea. So let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. Speak that which is good. Micaiah, for your own good, go along. Well, doesn't matter what you really think. Go along. You ever been in the minority on a decision like that? The whole world seems like they're going in that direction, and you just, Jehoshaphat, you say, I'm not sure it's a good idea. And then the messenger comes along and says, come on, everybody else is doing it. All you got to do is go along with them. This is the way to go. This is the trend. This is the way it works. Just go along. I know it's against your nature, but just go along. And Micaiah, verse 14, says, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever it is, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. That's the kind of preacher we want, isn't it? That's the kind of counselors we want. That's the kind of friends we want. Man, if whatever God says, that's what it is. And so he came to the king, verse 15. The king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And that you can see the expectation, right? And what does Micaiah say? He says in verse 15, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The king said to him, verse 16, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? What does that tell you? Ahab had the same sense that this was a bad idea. He talks Jehoshaphat into going, and then he's got all these preachers that tell him it's okay. He calls the one he knows for sure. I mean, he knows that preacher is going to say something ugly because he hates that preacher. You ever go to, no, don't say that, don't answer that. But you ever go to church and you're just kind of out of joint with the preacher, and it doesn't matter what he says, you're going to disagree with it. And I know many of you were here, but we had a lady that came to church here for a little while. Thank you. And she'd sit right back there in front of where Brother Thurman and Sister Wander sitting, and she'd sit there. Didn't matter what I was saying. She just disagreed with everything. And I'd say, why do you still come to church if you hate everything I say? Because he likes coming to church here. And so eventually they went along. But I mean, if that's the way we are when we go to church, something's wrong. We hate everything the preacher says. We expect he's going to make us mad. When we walk in the door, we already know we're going to get mad. Hey, let me encourage you to do something. Find another way to go. Either get right with the church, get right with the preacher, or go somewhere else. And by the way, if you run from your problems, they'll follow you wherever you go. Every church you go to, if that's the way you go, you'll find a reason to hate them too. So the best thing to do is get right. Anyway, so Micaiah tells him what he wants to hear, and he's still mad because he knows there's something more to it. Verse 17, see what Micaiah has done is Micaiah has prayed. He has gotten in touch with the Lord. The Lord has given him a vision. What vision did he see? He explains it in verse number 17. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. The Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man, to his house in peace. So the vision that Micaiah has seen is a nation with no leadership. A nation of sheep with no shepherd. Well, what does that mean? Ahab knows what that means. That means Ahab's no longer king. It means there's a vacuum, a void. Verse 18, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, this is your fault. I didn't want to come to church here. I don't like that preacher. He said, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? I knew it. I knew there was going to be a twist to this. Micaiah continues, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Verse 19, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. The Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? This was the plan, was for him to die at Ramoth-Gilead. One said on this manner, another said on that manner. Verse 21, there came forth the Spirit, stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, thou shalt persuade him, prevail also, go forth and do so. So the Lord has a plan for Ahab to die at Ramoth-Gilead. Of course, we know the prophecy of Elijah is that His blood will be spilled there where Naboth's vineyard was, where Naboth died, and that the dogs will lick his blood in the same exact spot as they licked up the blood of Naboth. God has a plan. And so, verse 23, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. The Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Look at what God did. And I know this is hard for us to reconcile. Is that there's a lie among all these 400 preachers. Why were they saying what they said? Because a spirit had come upon them and given them that message. Why did Micaiah say what he said when he got there? Go and thou shalt prosper. The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Why did he say that? Because that was the message that was given to him by that spirit. The difference is Micaiah had spent some time in prayer. And he had seen a little bit more to the story. He still knew what he had to say. He still knew what he had to preach. But he had a vision that was greater. A vision that expressed more. When he got finished talking, Zedekiah, verse 24, smote Micaiah on the cheek. And he said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? In other words, oh, you're so holy and spiritual. Which way did the Spirit go when I smacked you? Verse 25, Micaiah said, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. You see, you can doubt the preaching if you want to. You can doubt the message if you want to. But there's going to come a day when you're going to understand that what I was saying to you was true. You mock me all you want to, but what I'm telling you is true. So, verse 26, says, take Micaiah, carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I come in peace. Micaiah hears him say that, verse 28, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. Wow. He's all about standing your ground. See, Micaiah has no concern. He said what God told him to say. He's given the message of God. He doesn't have to hide or apologize or cower or be afraid. Guys, when we preach the truth, let the consequences come as they may. We have a freedom of speech. We don't have a freedom from consequences. We can say what we want to. We can preach the truth, and the world may like it or they may not like it, but we must preach the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. Now Micaiah's been hit. They tell him to put him in jail, tell him to feed him bread and water of affliction. Now here's the question. What happened? 400 say go. In fact, 401 say go. But that one said, you're not coming back. What do you think Ahab did? He said, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. But he disguised himself. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to wear different clothes. You know, you hear about these military soldiers. No, they don't try to wear the hat or wear the whites or, you know, they want to stand out. They want to fit in. Because if somebody sees an officer, they're a target. And the king here says, I don't want to be a target. I can put my robe and crown on and bring my kingly chariot out here, royal chariot, and they're going to target me. But he says to Jehoshaphat, you wear your robe. You wear your crown, you wear your robe, you bring your royal chariot, but me, I'm going to dress like these guys. I'm going to disguise myself. They go to battle at Ramoth Gilead. Verse 31, the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, only with the king of Israel. He's the only one I want. But he's in disguise, right? They see the royal chariot of Jehoshaphat. And off they go. they're going to get the king. They get there and they realize that's not Ahab. That's not. So they abandon the mission. We're not after him. And one of them draws the bow and shoots an arrow. And it says in verse number 34, a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host. I'm wounded. Ahab disguises himself, goes in with his guys as he should, and then by a random arrow. We use the term random, but the truth is it was providential. The truth is that arrow was directed by God. And it hit him. And he's wounded. And he says, turn out of the way. And he dies. He's brought to Samaria. They buried that king in Samaria. Verse 38, one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked his blood. That same spot where they licked up Naboth's blood. You know, sometimes we don't understand the hand of God. We can't see it. But when the word of the Lord comes to us by his word, by his spirit, and directs us, we should obey him. And if we have a faithful friend like Jehoshaphat, we should listen to him. If he feels uneasy about it, and he's our friend, maybe we should step back and think about it. Now, I know, this was providential. This was God's will. This was God bringing something about. That's why he had all those prophets confirming Ahab's desire. And let me say this. I don't care if somebody lies to me if it's directed by heaven. If it fulfills God's will, that's what I want. I want God's will accomplished in my life, in my surroundings. Now, you say, well, how could God use a lying spirit? We have to remember that there is one, the Bible says, who stands before God accusing us. We have an accuser. It says he walks about to and fro upon the earth, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, a spirit. And he is against us, and he will work against us, and he will use anybody he can against us. But we need to be seeking God. Ahab got what he deserved because he was a wicked, godless man. And God had had enough. That's why. But it's just neat to see how God works all these things together for his purpose. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We seek your heart. We seek your will. Want to please you. Want you to use us. God, we want to be useful this week as a church, each of us, as we go our separate ways, that we can make a difference, that we can lead the lost to Jesus, and that we can lead the wandering back to you. God, first grip our hearts and our minds. Use us for your glory. Hear our prayers and answer them according to your great power and your mighty love. Dismiss us now with your grace and bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.